the truth.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Tuesday, May 25, 2021. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I'd like to remind everyone RBN is listener-supported, folks. Please donate whatever is manageable. No donation is too small. Free speech simply cannot stay alive without being funded by we the people. Please help ensure that RBN continues broadcasting uncensored content well into the future. You can use PayPal on the RBN website donate page. You can call our RBN staff to donate via credit or debit card. You can call in to donate at 800-724-2719. Extension 3. Or you can mail in your donation, cash, check, money order, to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And we greatly appreciate it, folks. If you want to contribute to our chat room, you can find that at beyondton.chatango.com. And I'd like to keep the phone lines closed, at least for the majority of the broadcast. Here today, I have a special returning guest, folks. I have the one, the only, James Fetzer here with us today. Hello, Dr. Fetzer.
Oh, Richard, always a pleasure to join you. Thanks so much for the invitation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I didn't mean to let it lapse this long, quite frankly. But so much has happened since early autumn last year. And I mean, I'd love to just hear everything you've been researching lately, certainly regarding to this plandemic and to these gene-altering shots, these experimental genetic-altering shots. Anything you've come up with for plans relating to digital tracking and IDs in the future. We even see climate change related to it now. But to just start out with one brief story, Dr. Fetzer, I found an interesting article circulating about Dr. Fauci going back to 2017, where in 2017, in an interview, Dr. Fauci, and I downloaded and checked this out myself, watched the interview, 2017, Dr. Fauci said there is no doubt Donald Trump will be confronted with a surprise infectious disease outbreak during his presidency. During a forum on pandemic preparedness, this was at Georgetown University in 2017, Fauci said the Trump administration will not only be challenged by ongoing global health threats such as influenza and HIV, but also a surprise disease outbreak. Now, unless he's in communication with the Oracle or the Akashic Record himself for higher knowledge. I mean, the idea that someone could just predict that and be correct seems astronomical to me. I'd like to hear your thoughts, Dr. Fetzer.
Oh, of course, Richard, you're 100% spot on. I mean, think about it. How can he be predicting a surprise pandemic in 2017 if he already knows about it? He was the official in the government responsible for pandemic preparedness. So since he knew in advance that it was coming, how can he not have prepared us? He also knew, by the way, from an article published in the journal Virology from the National Institutes of Health, where he is a director, that hydroxychloroquine was a miracle cure for COVID, that it would not only prevent it if you did not have it, but cure it if you did, and yet he went on a campaign ravaging against hydroxychloroquine because, of course, it's cheap, readily available. It doesn't put money in the pockets of Big Pharma, where they're making a fortune, Richard. But the situation is far more dire than that. We have a report from Sherry Tenpenny, who's among the leading experts in the field, that these mRNA vaccines are perfectly designed killing machines. We know, of course, that the SARS-CoV-2 virus has never been isolated. If it's never been isolated, there cannot be a vaccine for it. What they produce is something entirely different. These mRNA vaccines actually change our DNA, which heretofore I'd not even believe to be possible. They produce a spike protein that does a great deal of damage, including, it appears, producing prions, which are responsible for eating the holes in the brains of cows. This is mad cow disease, so that we can anticipate an outbreak of mad man disease or mad human disease. But even worse than that, we have one of the world's leading virologists, Luca Montaigne, who is a co-winner of a Nobel Prize, explaining how devastating these are. He has actually stated, embrace yourself out there, anyone. Look, I have 5 dear relatives who've already got the shot, and my closest friend in Madison here has got the shot. He says, there is no hope and no possible treatment for them. We must be prepared to incinerate the bodies. All of them, meaning all of those who have received these vaccines, will die within 2 days. They will all die from antibody-dependent enhancement. Nothing more can be said. Now, Judy Mekovits has claimed that there is an antidote, a kind of serum. And look, I want to emphasize, like Bill Gates, I am not an MD. Mine is a PH. I'm not a virologist. I'm not an epidemiologist. But I'll tell you, I've been reporting on this virtually every single day for more than a year, virtually every single day. And the sources I'm citing appear to be the right sources, highly reliable. I encourage everyone out there to do their own research. Don't panic, but the situation is as bad as it could be. And it turns out now that the World Economic Forum, which is very much behind all of this, which wants to introduce the Great Reset, which is going to entail their paying off all your mortgages, your credit cards, your student loans, in return for your surrendering all of your property and assets. What kind of a deal is that? In return for agreeing to a vaccination regimen, you'll be able to rent a little cubicle. It's like what they're doing already in China, and according to other reports I have in Australia, they're trying to promote it with little videos saying, in articles saying, it's 2030, I own nothing, and I'm happier than ever. Ask yourself, how happy would you be to give up all your property, all your assets? You wouldn't own a home, you wouldn't own any furnishings, you wouldn't own your own television stereos, you wouldn't own your own car. You'd give it all up in return for a stipend that would come from the government, an agreement to accept their regimen of vaccinations, and if you were resistant, they'll put you in a FEMA camp, and if you continue to resist, Richard, mark my words, they're going to separate your head from your body with a guillotine, guess what, made in China.
Well, that's a pretty bold and foreboding prediction of the future for the start of the show, but I think it's important to get all this information out, you know, how nefarious these plans can be. I mean, it seems some people, it could just leave them sterile and shorten their lifespan and have them die of an organ failure or something far sooner than otherwise. With other people, yes, they could die within a couple of years or even shortly after getting the jab, within hours or a couple months. But, and of course, the long-term plan of changing DNA, it seems like that is a goal as well, to get people more and more used to them tampering with our DNA for more and more reasons. Once they get this initial one, this initial justification, pseudo-justification, if you will, accepted, normalized.
Well, Richard, I think you're correct across the board that depopulation is one of the driving forces here. That you have a small group of elites estimated to be about 6,000 in number, and their minions, maybe another 30,000, who want to dramatically reduce Earth's population from close to 8 billion to only 500 million. That's a depopulation agenda of 7.5 billion souls, Richard. It's staggering in its proportions. Most Americans can't begin to get their minds around it. They have trouble imagining the government could fake the shooting of 20 kids and 6 adults at Sandy Hook. How could they possibly imagine there could be a monstrous program of depopulation to eradicate 7.5 billion from planet Earth? But we have more from the World Economic Forum urging companies to fire unvaccinated employees as part of a great jobs reset. It's precisely what I'm describing to you. This is absolutely monstrous, choosing between your job and your life. If you get the vaccination, you're putting your life at risk. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. But I encourage everyone, do their own research. And now you have the Biden administration partnering with date app sites so that you can learn, you know, the status of someone you might want to date as to whether they've been vaccinated or not. The irony, Richard, is that it may be that those who are vaccinated are the Typhoid Marys of our time. We have multiple reports that women who have never been vaccinated but have been in the company of those who have suffered miscarriages, multiple periods. Their menstrual cycle is affected. They're being turned infertile. All of these are taking place. We even had a private school down in Florida declaring that no one who had been vaccinated would be allowed on their campus. It sounds strange to say, but I think they're on the right track and they have a better grasp of what's going on than the other sources from which the public hears so frequently and so often with what Trump has called out as fake news. The trouble here, and it disturbs me profoundly, as enthusiastic as I am about Donald Trump in general, apart from his special treatment of Israel, which was manifestly wrong, especially obvious in the wake of the intrusion into Gaza, where they continue their slaughter, for having promoted the vaccinations, these vaccines. He wants to take credit. Well, I'm sorry to say it's going to turn out that these vaccines are a catastrophe. And I believe Anthony, Tony the Rat Fauci, as I refer to him, is going to turn out to be the greatest mass murderer in world history, responsible for more death and destruction to America than all of our foreign enemies combined, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Emperor Hirohito. Fauci is going to be responsible for the deaths of tens, even hundreds of millions. Let me note, by the way, Richard, that this cabal behind the scene appears to have the responsibility to publicize what they're doing in advance, so that if you go to the Deagle.com website, you find projections for the populations of the world's nations in 2025. Heretofore, Deagle.com has been projecting that the U.S. population would drop from 330 million in 2020 to 99 million in 2025. Richard, they revised that. Now in 2025, they say only 65 million. Subtract 65 million from 330 million today. That's their prediction of how many Americans are going to die. We're talking about more than two-thirds of the U.S. population over the next now less than 5 years, Richard. It's staggering to contemplate.
And these international organizations, both medical and otherwise, medical and geopolitical, I mean, they seem to be some of the biggest players involved. I mean, sure, we hear about for years we've heard about Bilderberg. That's been linked to this in some articles. Of course, the World Economic Forum, with Klaus Schwab suddenly getting more press, the kind of press coverage that Soros used to get. It's interesting we don't see much from Soros lately, as much in articles, ever since the corporate media said we don't talk about George Soros, oddly enough. But, you know, we have, well, clearly Bill Gates, even as an individual, has a lot of influence. Most people don't realize how much he's always been dedicated to population reduction. And this World Economic Forum, as I say, Bilderberg, sure, those are involved. But World Health Organization, United Nations, I mean, aren't these major players in all of this as well?
Oh, 100%. If you can access my website, JimTheConspiracyGuy.com, you'll find there some 65 presentations I have made about conspiracies all over the world, the very first of which is on the COVID pandemic, real or illusion, where I point out that studies of the mortality in European countries when there was supposed to be a raging pandemic showed no change in mortality, where we have a study that slipped through the cracks from Johns Hopkins showing no increase in deaths in any age group. We know, in addition, that there has not been a run on oxygen tanks or IV stands and drips, which would be of necessity if the hospitals were simply teeming with COVID patients. Not only, but it's been confirmed by life insurance experts and mathematical modeling that the insurance companies have not had to adjust their rates. The life insurance now for a fixed sum and amount is the same this year as it was last, meaning all this empirical data contradicts the medical fear porn we're getting from the mainstream media, none of which ought to be taken seriously, all of which appears to be manufactured, and where, you know, they're apparently falling short that an awful lot of the world's population is not buying what they're selling. Odometers, Richard, is a wonderful site for statistics worldwide, and they've done a survey asking six questions worldwide. Listen to these results. Are you getting the COVID-19 vaccine? Yes. Less than 9%. No, over 91%. Not getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Should masks be mandatory? Yes. Less than 9%. Again, no, more than 91%. Should masks be mandatory? More than 91% say no. And of course, that's completely correct. I have study after study of the adverse effects of wearing masks. Get this, Richard, even Anthony Fauci did a study of the Spanish flu with colleagues, where the Spanish flu took tens of millions early in the 20th century, and it turns out most of those did not die from the flu, but from bacterial pneumonia infections, which are, guess what, promoted by wearing face masks. So Tony the Rat has known from the beginning that face masks are bad for human beings and other living things. Back to odometers. Was the government's reaction to COVID-19 worse than the virus? Yes, over 90% yes. No, less than 10. Do you trust the World Health Organization? Yes, less than 7%. No, over 93%. And when you talk about the World Health Organization, as I explained in that original study from last May, about the COVID virus, now over a year, in other words, it showed how Bill Gates had spent huge amounts of sum on this, taking control of the World Health Organization, the CDC, and Imperial College as well, where the absurd Neil Ferguson model was predicting 2.2 million deaths in America and 500,000 in the UK if their economies were not shut down immediately, where that had the intended effect from the point of view of the World Economic Forum, because they want to destroy the middle class, wipe out small businesses so everyone's dependent on the government so they can promote their great economic reset. Here's another. Do you support lockdowns or military involvement? Yes, around 7%. No, 93. Remember these lockdowns in the past? We have dealt with pandemics by quarantining the sick. In this case, they quarantine the healthy, which is completely absurd. Another question, was COVID-19 politicized by mainstream media? Yes. Over 94%, no, less than 6. That suggests that a lot of the world's population has caught on to what's going on here, which may be why the World Economic Forum is now promoting employers firing employees if they don't get the shot, and the Biden administration merging with dating apps to try to promote having been vaccinated before you can go on a date. How bad is that, Richard? These government entities are not entitled under the law to take control of our personal health. It's completely absurd and a gross violation of the Nuremberg Code, which is adopted in the wake of World War II when it was discovered that Dr. Joseph Mengele was performing medical experiments on prisoners without their knowledge or consent, which now, as a matter of international law, any experimental medical procedure requires informed consent, where the parties are explained all the benefits but also all the risk and also any available alternatives. In this case, HCQ and ivermectin provide non-intrusive alternatives to COVID, to these shots, which are going to alter your MRA, and it looks as though they're potentially going to take your life. I mean, the situation could not be more dire, Richard. This is the greatest threat to humanity Earth has ever faced.
And so this seems like what the elites, you know, to use a cliched term, have wanted all along, really, is to find an excuse to usher in a great culling of the masses and start a transhumanist agenda for the serf class, their future serf class they might let continue. And, I mean, as far as the actual potential to resist, I don't know. I mean, like Jim Rickards was out there the other day writing that he thinks that the digital vaccine passport is going to fail. You know, the way in a lot of areas the masks and lockdowns are starting to fail, at least in parts of some states in the country and regions. I don't know. I mean, that's pretty optimistic. I mean, sure, they may, you know, they may have some slow regrouping necessary. But I don't know. Do you think that they could have bit off more than they could chew, that it's not necessarily a done deal that they'll succeed in all of this?
Well, let's hope that is the case. I'm quite certain that if they were succeeding with their vaccination agenda, where the pandemic itself does not appear to be real, but the vaccinations are the real threat, so that the COVID, too, is really just the ruse to create a justification for mass vaccination, which is intended to undertake or perform massive depopulation and instill infertility in promote all kinds of harms to human beings, they would not be seeking to have employers fire employees who don't get vaccinated. Biden administration wouldn't be working with dating apps to try to promote the vaccine if they were succeeding. The Federal Reserve is already talking about digital currency, in other words, getting rid of cash. Stop and think about it. If they get rid of cash, then every transaction you ever made, even if it's buying donuts at the local store, but also, you know, firearms from a neighbor, is going to be recorded by the government. They will be able to control every aspect of our life by means of digital control of our money. Cash really represents a form of freedom. So that part and parcel of the Great Reset is to make all financing of all aspects of our life digital so they can control. And then if we don't conform to their expectations, they can cut us off. Anyone who's seen the brilliant film Enemy of the State with Gene Hackman and Will Smith appreciates what happens if they just cut off your credit cards. if you've never seen the film, go out of your way to see it, because it's very representative of exactly how intrusive the government has become in our lives, which we know, too, from multiple other sources, some of which have made national news, most of which have not.
Well, I have no doubt the corporations will be in lockstep, just as they had been with the Black Lives Matter movement and all of its Marxist agendas. I could very easily see these corporations, most all of them, doing whatever the World Economic Forum and other international bodies, entities dictate. The vaccine passport seems like a strong way of coercing people where they have no choice but to get the jab. But, I mean, will that if that doesn't work, are these other digital methods, simply with the ID and digital currency, through making most interactions digital, you think that's how eventually they'll get most people to succumb to the jab?
Well, it's how they'll take control of our lives. And by the way, the one institution that the globalist Zionists do not appear to control, which, of course, they already control the mainstream media, they already control Hollywood, they already control the Congress, appears to be attempts to infiltrate and destroy our military on the specious grounds of going after domestic terrorism. We all know the events at the Capitol of January 6th, which were orchestrated. That was not a bona fide event. We have a provocateur by the name of John Sullivan, a well-known leader of Antifa, who was wearing Trump gear, photographed there. His brother James accused him of leading 226 Antifa members into the Capitol riots. We know this was not Trump supporters, who were still at the Ellipse, where Donald didn't finish speaking until 1:11, whereas these events were already occurring at 1240, 1245, 1 o'clock. There'd already been requests for reinforcements. But where, and this is terribly important to appreciate, the Capitol Police allowed the intrusion to take place. I have video footage where you can see managers and directors telling those who are flooding into the Capitol where to go and what to do. It turns out that even the New York Times has reported that they knew there was going to be an intrusion the day before, which, of course, removes any possible incitement by Donald Trump. He cannot incite it in an event that was planned in advance, where it turns out that the Capitol doors are controlled by extraordinarily powerful magnets, that the only way in which the intruders could have entered the Capitol is by releasing the locks on the doors, where they were not actually interfering with counting the electoral votes, which the Democrats have insisted was the case. I mean, after all, that's why it was Trump supporters. They were trying to stop the electoral count. But the fact is, it was the opposite. They were discussing and debating evidence of election fraud. Donald Trump wanted nothing more than discussion and debate of evidence of election fraud. That means Trump supporters had no motive whatsoever for intruding. But well, there was a key figure, a key player in all of this who did. That is the person who is in control of the Capitol Police, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. I have no doubt that when the investigations are completed, that it will be revealed that Nancy Pelosi was the coordinator and instigator of the Capitol intrusion in order to disrupt the discussion of the fraud, evidence of election fraud, which has now been confirmed, of course, by the Maricopa audit that's taking place in Arizona, by other indications in Michigan and elsewhere in other key states.
All right, we have to take the bottom of the hour break, sir. We'll be right back. Stick around, folks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
One day we will put it all behind. We'll say that was just another time. We'll say that was just another day on earth. We'll say that was just another time. One day.
And we're back, folks. Beyond the Official Narrative, Republic Broadcasting, here with my guest today, James Fetzer. And Dr. Fetzer, you were making some other points about the premeditation psyop of the January 6th event. I have no doubt everything you say is spot on that. Nancy Pelosi's involvement, the amount that a lot of these Trump supporters were allowed in, as well as agent provocateurs, unbeknownst to them, mixed in, and police and security, of course, facilitating very much of this, a great deal of it. Even footage I saw of Ashley Babbitt being shot. I mean, I downloaded some footage which didn't have anything blurred out, and I saw no blood whatsoever when the body drops and everything. That was very curious as well. But and John Sullivan, of course, I was keeping up with a lot of articles exposing his past and everything leading up to his being an agent provocateur. His father in the military and his connections to intelligence. And then, of course, the brother who was portrayed as being pro-Trump. But I think, yeah, John Sullivan is perhaps more worth focusing on than his brother in how much all of this intertwined. It does seem like it needed to set a stage for the domestic terrorist, white supremacist sort of legislation they want to pass, just like all of this COVID legislation that they would like to pass to force all of this upon us. Very much a psyop for more erosion of our rights, of our freedoms. But
What they're trying to do, Richard, is to destroy the coalition that Donald Trump put together, which has instilled fear in every Democrat politician. He wiped them out in 2016, even though it was rigged for Hillary, because so many voters in rural counties came out for Trump.
Let me ask you this question, though, sir. As far as Donald Trump taking credit for how fast the genetic altering shots have been made available, him taking credit for the fast tracking of it, and that, could he actually be oblivious to the actual nature of these and how much harm is intended by all these international organizations and domestic organizations? Could he actually be kept that much in the dark of all of that?
Richard, I share your concern. There are certain areas where I've been hypercritical of Donald Trump, including his attitude toward Israel, moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, declaring the Golan Heights to be Israeli property when it's internationally recognized to be Saudi territory occupied by the Israelis, defunding the U.N. organization assisting Palestinian refugees, even redefining anti-Semitism by executive order to include criticism of the actions and policies of the government of Israel, which is a blatant violation of the First Amendment. I condemn all of those. And on top of that, I agree with you. He wants to take credit for the vaccines, but the vaccines turn out to be killing machines. So this is going to require a very serious reassessment of the role of the Donald in all of this. I do believe he did great good for America, that Biden has moved rapidly to unwind, to undo the XL pipeline, made America energy independent for the first time. Immediately, Biden reversed it. Trump's blocking of the border, the lockdown there, meant we were secure. You can go all the way back to a Rasmussen poll in 2019, where 40% of black likely voters declared they were going to support Trump because his policies were elevating incomes at all levels, and where the lowest earning wage earner was seeing his wages rise at the highest rate. Biden has undone all of that.
He was able to get a lot of black support, but at the same time, he did push back against the critical race theory. So yeah, I will give him points for those. Please continue.
Oh, yes, Richard, I agree with all that. And now Biden is actually in the dead of night flying young people from the border to various states. I believe this is an attempt to alter the demographics. They're so petrified at the coalition that Trump put together, they're going all out to try to destroy it. And this whole business about domestic terrorism is perhaps the linchpin. The terminology tossed into the word salad, very domestic extremist, homegrown terrorist, right-wing fanatics, bitter clingers, but they all mean more or less the same thing. The conservative, Christian, gun-owning, mostly white, non-compliant remnants of the middle American middle class, operating in lockstep. The apparatus of the deep state intelligence community, military, industrial complex have set their sights squarely on uncooperative libertarian elements within the United States. Listen to how they talk about an unholy alliance of religious extremists, authoritarians, fascists, bigots, racists, nativists, even libertarians. What they're really talking about are Trump supporters, the pro-Trump insurgency.
So a lot of people who have been keeping up with the way they're trying to shape the troops as far as who they recruit, who they keep around. I hear back in the Obama administration, there was a bit of a purging of the military, but yeah. not on the level they're attempting right now. So you being with your past, your military past, of course, for people who aren't aware, former Marine Corps artillery officer. But I mean, you've also had a lot of troops under your command, sir, at many points in your military career. Your time in the military, you have to be stunned by how much this thoroughly tops Obama's so-called military purge. What they're starting right now, the attack on all conservatives. I even see the CIA advertising for trannies and homosexuals and people with anxiety disorders as their new marketing. But yeah, the whole military being so thoroughly purged of conservatives or anyone who isn't kind of supporting the anti-white agenda as well. If I may be so frank, everything that's American and supporting all these communist alterations. I don't know if you noticed. Well, of course, you probably heard about this. 120 plus retired military flag officers warned the U.S. is under assault by socialists, Marxists, and urging Americans to fight back. I don't know. That has to show how dire the situation. And you must still have a lot of military contacts, sir. So I mean, what is the underground discussion like these days?
Well, Richard, you are right, and the generals are right, and yes, Obama carried out a purge against flag rank officers, generals, and admirals. He dismissed over 100 officers, I believe, because they would not pledge their allegiance to the president rather than to the Constitution of the United States. So what we have going on now is an attempt to sabotage the Department of Defense, the U.S. military, in a way that our mainstream media, Hollywood, and even our Congress have already been dominated by the globalists and the Zionists, who are acting in concert to bring about the destruction of America. Many do not realize Bibi Netanyahu, but a host of earlier prime ministers of Israel have regarded America with disdain. Ariel Sharon, after 9/11, boasted, "We own America, and Americans know it." Bibi Netanyahu recently observed, "America is the golden calf. We want to suck it dry for our benefit and leave nothing but the world's largest welfare state, because that's what we do with nations we hate." 9/11 was an Israeli op. It even appears to have originated in the fertile imagination of Bibi Netanyahu to try to devise a plan to draw American forces into the Middle East to take out the modern Arab states that served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region and eventually to confront the Persian nation of Iran. Our military has stood as a neutral, objective, patriotic organization dedicated to upholding the Constitution. So now this new Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, who appears to me completely unqualified for the position, is inviting leaders from the Anti-Defamation League and from the Southern Poverty Law Center and even Islamic extremists to assist in pruning the military of domestic terrorists, really anyone who would be inclined to be conservative, right-wing, or support Donald Trump. This is completely outrageous, Richard, and I agree with everything you're saying. We should all be profoundly concerned.
And yet many feel that it's not possible to have a solution other than letting everything collapse due to mismanagement and just implosion, both socially and economically. I mean, I don't know. It seems like everything's stacked against us for perception as far as any sort of military or political means of a solution. Do you agree with that?
Well, we are in dire straits. JFK observed that those who make peaceful reform impossible make violent revolution inevitable. Go back to the Declaration of Independence and you find very clear statements about the rights of man to change his government when it becomes tyrannical and violative of the human rights with which we were all endowed by God. And I affirm that stance, even though I personally am an agnostic, like many other most philosophers, recognizing the existence of God as a transcendent entity outside of space and time cannot be proven, but also cannot be disproven, but rather belief in God is an article of faith. But just as theism is an article of faith, so is atheism, because belief in the non-existence of God is just as unwarranted empirically, scientifically, as belief in the existence of God. I respect everyone's right to their religious beliefs. Sure. But this is a reason why religion has so frequently become a source of conflict in the world, because everyone can believe they've got it right in their religious beliefs, and no one can prove that they are wrong.
I have to say I agree wholeheartedly. That, I mean, to think you are certain that there is no metaphysical or spirituality beyond this existence we know of is rather naive and presumptuous. I mean, there's no evidence, as you say, either way, and it is a fair stance, which I agree with. So, okay, well, we have about 10 minutes or just over left, sir. I mean, I don't know. What is your assessment of everything at this point, as far as your, you know, keeping your just military leadership skills in mind, and what advice you have for the nation individually and collectively?
Well, Richard, there are positive signs. For example, the Texas Senate has passed a bill that bans critical race theory from the classroom. Critical race theory espouses the idea that race is not natural, not evolved, but a social construction to oppress and exploit minorities. It's an offshoot of the quasi-Marxist critical social philosophy promoted by the Frankfurt School of Thought. I've done a lot of research on evolution and behavior. You find it published in two of my books, one entitled The Evolution of Intelligence, 2005, the other, Render Unto Darwin, 2007. And I can assure you the differences between the races are all bona fide, scientifically established. There are as many as 26 different categories. It may sound surprising, because you have the mechanisms of evolution include what's known as genetic drift. When you have a subpopulation of the human population that's relatively isolated, for example, on an island, then they inbreed and react to threats in that environment and go in a different direction from an evolutionary point of view, where future gene pools are going to, you know, promote the continuation and the survival of those who were best adapted in those environments. Where the out of Africa hypothesis has it that humanity began originally in Africa and then spread upward and outward into Europe, into Asia, eventually China, where all those environments yielded subpopulations with distinctive genetic traits over long periods of time. All that appears to be very well founded. But that means that the races represent different abilities and talents. For example, I would say blacks tend to be more successful in athletics, whites more successful in intellectual activities. Just look at the distribution in the NBA and the NFL of players there. It's not a matter of discrimination that there would be whites in more positions that involved intellectual challenges than blacks, any more than that there are fewer whites in the NFL and the NBA than blacks. This is a reflection of what's often thought to be stereotypical thinking about races, but actually appears to be well-founded scientifically. So we got to get rid of critical race theory. We have to get rid of electronic voting machines, which have been used to steal election after election after election. We can go back to paper ballots and hand counts, Richard. We need to do that across the country in its entirety. Remember, the election of 2020 was stolen in Florida in order to bring us Bush-Cheney so they could go along with 9/11 to get American forces into the Middle East. That is what 9/11 was all about. And by the way, anyone who wants to pursue this, I have a recent article on Oon's Review entitled What's Wrong with Conspiracy Theories, where I explain that conspiracy theories as theories can be evaluated by the same criteria as scientific theories. Given my background as a philosopher of science, I explain how that can be done and how that conspiracy theorists are denigrated because we are investigating crimes. And those who are attacking conspiracy theorists don't want the crimes to be exposed because they lead back to them. This is true with JFK, it's true with 9/11, it's true with Sandy Hook, it's true with the Boston bombing, it's true with Orlando and Dallas, it's true with Charlottesville, it's true with Parkland. By the way, you know, Amazon.com not only banned my book on Sandy Hook, where I brought together 13 experts, including five other PhDs, where we established that the school had been closed by 2008, that there were no students there, that they conducted a two-day FEMA drill, technically a mass casualty exercise involving children, presented to the public as mass murder, where I even included the manual for the FEMA drill in the book as Appendix A, which is why they had to ban it. It was too good. It blew the whole case apart. Amazon at the time had 20 books on Sandy Hook, 19 of which endorsed one version or another of the official narrative, some as absurd as one allegedly by a first grade teacher who claimed to have saved 15 first graders by cramming them into a 3x4 bathroom. It's a simply absurd story. Assume they weighed 50 pounds apiece. That's 750 pounds of squirming little kids, 6 and 7 year olds, 100 pounds for the teacher. There's no possible way they could have fit into the bathroom with a door that swung inward. Just take one NFL tackle or guard at 350. He would have filled up that bathroom. They're willing to sell absurd stories like that to the public, but not one that blew the whole case apart for all the obvious reasons. Since then, Amazon has banned five more of my books. So if you were to go to moonrockbooks.com, which I co-founded with Mike Palachek after Amazon banned our book, we realized we need another independent mode of distribution. You can still get my books on the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, even the moon landing. So I must explain, the moon landing book was banned not because it demonstrates we did not go to the moon, which is overwhelmingly apparent when you look at the evidence, but because it also included a section about World War II and disputes over what was going on there, where it turns out that what we are talking about were labor camps, that Zyklon B was used to kill body lice because it was spreading typhus and dysentery throughout the camps. They wanted to preserve the life of the inmates because you can't get work out of a corpse. Hundreds of children were born in these facilities. I mean, it's completely outrageous what we've been told about them, so phony and so false. The ADL asked Amazon to ban any books that disputed the official narrative of Sandy Hook, of the Holocaust, which Amazon obligingly did. Go to moonrockbooks.com and check it out. You won't be disappointed.
Yes,
there
sir.
You can find what really happened in Boston, in Charlottesville, in Orlando, in Parkland, and more.
And yes, Richard, sir. And I, moonrockbooks.com and... Yes, I mean, Sandy Hook, and also the Holocaust, for that matter. I have looked into that from a lot of sources myself as well. And, okay, there are two questions I have left for you, if we have time, sir, in the last, like, 4 minutes or so. One is the moon landing. What could be possibly gained from faking that? Why that one? You know, anyone would want to know, before they even look into it more, why would the powers that be put so much effort into faking the moon landing and the nanotechnology component of these genetic altering shots? I'd like to hear your thoughts on where that could lead.
Well, the moon landing, the Soviet Union had embarrassed the United States by launching the first space satellite, Sputnik, so that in order to try to create the impression that we were not behind the Soviet Union in science and technology, when in fact they were ahead. JFK declared the program to put a man on the moon. Now, Jack, in my opinion, would never have participated in a fraud or deception on the American people. He did not know. We lacked the propulsion power. We couldn't even escape low Earth orbit. We didn't have the communication capacity. If you want an obvious indication this is faked, remember the moon is 250,000 miles away, and yet you don't hear any time delay when you're having communication between Houston and astronauts on the moon. That's preposterous. That's completely absurd. We didn't have the computer capability, and the computer they show in diagrams for the moon operation isn't even a functional computer.
We'll have to come back to discuss that. I could have you back sooner at more frequent intervals in future if you like. But the nanotechnology, we only have a minute or two left. The nanotechnology component of the shots, where do you see that leading, and how many dangers are related to that?
Richard, I did a huge amount of research on computers in the mind. I founded and edited an international journal, Minds and Machines. My research shows that you cannot turn a digital machine, classically known as a von Neumann architecture, into a thinking thing. That's because these computers operate on sequences of zeros and ones or high and low voltage, which mean nothing to the machine. The machines are programmed in order to perform traits that are meaningful to the programmers, but not to the machine. Since you cannot turn a digital machine into a thinking thing, they're adopting the alternative strategy of seeking to turn thinking things into something like robots, more like machines. They are fostering the use of vaccines to promote autism. There's a perfect correlation because kids who are autistic, and it's predicted at the current rate that by 2050, half of our kids will be autistic, are better at performing routine, repetitive job tasks, so that even though there's a solution to autism, the big pharma bought it and took it off the market because they want to have these workers. I believe the vaccines include the equivalent of operating systems that are intended to take control of human beings and then turn them into controllable entities from remote locations. I think all your concerns, Richard, are very well-founded, and I share them 100%.
Well, this has been an excellent interview, sir. I'm going to be sure to share this around. I hope you do, too. And please, let's start doing this more frequently. Thank you for your time. Moonrock Books, everyone. Thank you, sir.
That would be my pleasure, Richard. Anytime.
All right. Moonrockbooks.com. It's been a pleasure, sir. And everyone, please support RBN. That's the only way we can make any of this possible. Stick around for Dr. Patrick Slattery with National Bugle Radio. And again, that's moonrockbooks.com for all of Dr. Fetzer's work. And we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
1984.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.